Hi, this is Ashley Gallagher from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus Student Edition, a podcast series dedicated to pharmacy students. On this month's episode, I speak with Jenny Zilka and Samara McCrossey about the Good Neighbor Pharmacy Scholarship Funds to help future Black pharmacists. Could you give an overview of the scholarship, like who is it for and how does it benefit the recipients?
Sure, I would be happy to do that. So through the Good Neighbor Pharmacy Scholarship Program, four pharmacy school students were selected to receive $25,000 for each remaining academic year of their four-year Doctor of Pharmacy program. So this is a scholarship that was created by Good Neighbor Pharmacy in conjunction with our Cencora Impact Foundation. So it was something that we did together. And the goal of it was really to think of ways and, you know, implement something that would drive more diverse representation across the industry, especially within pharmacy ownership. And we also really wanted to try to capture the interest of students earlier in their careers and maybe introduce them to the concept of independent ownership and caring for patients in their communities.
So what is the importance of creating a scholarship that highlights and celebrates Black and African-American students who are in the pharmacy profession?
Yeah, so I'll start with a statistic to answer that question. Only 5% of all licensed pharmacists in the U.S. are African-American or Black. And that really jumped out at us a couple of years ago when we initiated conversations around this scholarship. So it really emerged from some open dialogue that we had internally within our department. And that dialogue took place shortly after the events of George Floyd. And we were just brainstorming and sharing how we were feeling and you know, thinking of ideas that we could make a difference. And we worked with our Cencora Impact Foundation. And you know, the goal was to focus on finding a way to implement positive change through DE&I efforts. So the conversation sparked a lot of ideas, and where we landed was, again, just really engaging with Black and African-American aspiring pharmacists early in their career and providing the tools and the resources that they need to be successful as a pharmacist or pursuing pharmacy school.
Great. And what are future plans for this scholarship? And are there more long-term plans to expand the scholarship as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, we're going to listen to feedback from Samara as well as the other scholarship recipients, and we're going to learn based on their experiences how we could potentially expand it. I can tell you this, I certainly, and myself and our entire team, we aspire to broaden it and broaden the scope to represent all underrepresented groups across the pharmacy industry and practice. But we're also going to just kind of take a moment and make sure that what we're doing is valuable, it's meaningful, and that our recipients like Samara are finding benefit in the way the program is currently structured.
Why is representation important in the pharmacy industry for Black individuals, but also for other people of color and those with various sexual and gender orientations? What could be the impact on care for these patients?
Yeah, it's such an important question to ask. So, you know, research has shown that the better a patient is represented and culturally understood, the greater the potential for successful healthcare outcomes. So I think, you know, for us, our goal is to drive or maximize clinical outcomes for patients that may be underrepresented. And it's also well documented that having a diverse profession will enhance communication and trust between the patients and the practitioners, right? So again, it improves patient compliance, clinical outcomes, et cetera. And that's really the goal. And we believe something that can make a huge difference within communities, especially those hard to reach communities and those underserved communities. And I mean, I can share an example of that. One of our independent pharmacies out in Sacramento, Pucci's Pharmacy, they're an independent pharmacy within our Good Neighbor Pharmacy Network, and they are owned and operated by the husband team of Dr. Clint Hopkins and Joel Hochman. And they were truly pioneers in working with the Sacramento County to spearhead monkeypox vaccination efforts. And their pharmacy alone administered over 70% of the monkeypox vaccine supply allocated to Sacramento County. So they're just a really great example of really reaching a unique patient population or an underserved population, and how effective they were in doing that. And they've done that in multiple areas, from COVID to monkeypox, et cetera. But they're just a really a shining example of the amazing work that our independent pharmacies can do, because they are so accessible and they are so trusted within their communities.
How can pharmacists and pharmacy students help underserved communities?
Yeah, so I'll share a quote from one of our pharmacy owners, who she was a clinical pharmacist in a health system, and her husband owned an independent pharmacy in the community. And she said something that she found to be so unique is that when you're a community pharmacist, especially an independent pharmacist, you are that patient's pharmacist for life, right? And these independent pharmacies are inherently ingrained in their communities. They typically, the owners and the staff go to school with their patients. They go to church with their patients. They're probably sitting on PTA boards with their patients. And as a result, they so deeply connect with and understand their patients and their needs. So I think, you know, one way that I would encourage pharmacy students to maybe expand their horizons and get a better understanding of the impact that you can make as an independent pharmacist or pharmacy owner is to just really search out rotations or residencies where you can get experience working with an independent pharmacy owner and just get to see what it's like to forge those deep and meaningful relationships with their patients.
And how can future applicants apply?
Well, we will certainly keep future applicants posted on that as we continue to work through our next steps on the scholarship and really learn from this first year through Samara and her peers as they pursue their pharmacy degrees and determine how we can continue to expand.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Monthly Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Jessica Louie, host of the Burnout Doctor podcast. Today we're answering, organization can be really key to mental health in general and avoiding burnout. Why is this? And do you have a recommendation? Well, I can tell you, I was saved by decluttering and simplifying my life. I followed Marie Kondo's books and philosophy to help change this, and I can tell you it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen over a few weeks. It took months to declutter my physical space and then my mental, emotional, and spiritual space, relearn habits, and find myself and my purpose, and then learn what burnout was. And I didn't cure myself or solve my burnout. I learned how to reset it. Research studies have shown that clutter affects our lives and can lead to burnout or contribute to it. A UCLA study showed that clutter is directly tied to stress levels, especially in women. More clutter equals more stress. A Harvard study showed that eliminating clutter would reduce housework by up to 40%. So there are four key areas to take control of: your physical clutter, your mental clutter, your emotional clutter, and your spiritual clutter. Of course, we all know what physical clutter is in our homes, our cars, our offices. We can declutter this with the KonMari method. Mental clutter affects our ability to process information, and it can be accumulating from our digital world, from phone messages, text messages, emails, all that clutter. Emotional clutter can affect our ability to express feelings such as anger, sadness, and fear. And spiritual clutter can affect our energy levels, our trust, and aligning our values with decisions and being present in the moment. You can find out even more information on clutter impacting burnout and stress in episodes 8, 56, and 103 of the podcast. Thanks, everyone, and until next time on our Mental Health Minute.
Samara, what does this scholarship mean to you?
Yeah, so this scholarship really means being able to learn and just being in the classroom aspect of school or college in particular, and not really worrying about how I'm going to pay for my next year or how I'm going to complete my PharmD program. And it means even more to me that it was specifically designated for people that look like me, people that are African-American, people of color. It really just feels amazing to know that there really is support out there and there are people that want to see you succeed and really want to see me become a pharmacist, really.
What are your professional goals after you were done with schooling?
Yeah, so right now, I really am looking at all of my options. I know going to ThoughtSpot this summer really opened my eyes to independent pharmacy that I didn't think would be a path for me initially, but I am definitely more interested in it. But as of right now, I really am interested into like ambulatory care. I really just want to find a way to really personalize medication regimens and stuff like that, and really just build connections with patients on a more long-term scale instead of just seeing them in the hospital and then possibly never seeing them again, as well as like for what I want to do with my set, like my degree. I also really would like to foster like a community, just a healthy learning environment for students coming up. I know that I personally have had great preceptors already, and I really just want to continue that for other students after me.
Those are really, really important parts of pharmacy. What advice would you give to anyone who wants to pursue a career in pharmacy?
Yeah, I would really say to just keep your eyes open. A pharmacy is so broad and there are so many things you can do. I would just, you know, get the prereqs done, get into the program. And then once you get there, even prior, like working in a pharmacy and seeing what, if that's something that you would want to do for the rest of your life, just try everything. Really join every club that even piques an interest and just really make your career what you want it to be. Pharmacy is really endless.
And in lastly, just to kind of wrap things up, in your opinion, what is the importance of pharmacy as a career, especially in underserved communities?
Yeah, so personally, I don't have any family members that are pharmacists. I don't know many pharmacists. I didn't know many pharmacists coming up as a kid. So, you know, going to pharmacy, the experience for me was just being in the back of my mom's car, you know, going to the pickup window. And I, from all the pharmacists that I've ever experienced in that aspect, they've never looked like me. And whenever I go to a place, like, it's very noticeable when no one looks like you or no one is like you. So I feel like when there's underrepresentation in a field, especially one like healthcare, it can just be very upsetting, almost like dreadful going, because you don't have any shared experiences with your pharmacist. You don't have an innate way of connection because they may not look like you. So really, like, having a representation in a pharmacy means that someone can come to your pharmacy. They can see that you look like them, that you have those shared experiences. And it just creates a deeper connection and almost a feeling of safety, knowing that there are people that work here that look like you, and they will make sure that you're getting the appropriate care that you need. It's just a deeper connection than just surface level. relationship between a patient and a pharmacist, really.
Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus, Student Edition. Tune in next month to hear more about the latest trends and issues for pharmacy students.